Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, I come now to fulfill a commitment made for a request granted while I was yet in my mother's womb. I come of a free will, and I come of a glad heart. I commit this in the name of Christ. Amen. One day I'll explain that. I am led to speak on the subject matter, that instrument upon which all the law and the prophets hang, that chord that runs throughout the symphony of our faith, from everlasting to eternity. It is that something we call love. If you have your Bibles, I'm a King James person. Roll over to the book of John, and we will find our text in the 14th chapter, verse 21. John 14, 21. You may stand if you might, sit if you will, for the word of God is not dependent upon our posture. Nevertheless, we stand out of reverence. But if you must sit, it is well. John 14, 21. And when we look on the page, I hazard to believe that we found it. When we look at this page, we look at verse 21, we find these words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Amen. And manifest myself to him. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak from the subject, the manifestation of Christian love. The manifestation of Christian love. Now, before we get too far afield with this word love, let us look at it. You know, the English word love has so many different meanings and connotations. But our Greek brothers and sisters have helped us, and they have broken it into three main words. The first we look at is philia. This is family love. We know this love. It is not only our blood relatives, but those who are familiar to us. Our lifelong friends, our neighbors, those of whom we attend church. This is family love. Now, we first see this love over in the book of Genesis between Adam and Eve. When Adam first saw Eve, he said, "You are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." And they went on to have a family, and they had children, three of which we know, that is Cain, Abel, and Seth. This is family love, but Christ is not talking about in this text.
All right.
Philia, family love. The Greeks give us another word. That word is eros. Now, this is an affectionate kind of love. It is tied to the physical being. It is a fleshly kind of love. It has many sides to it. We have to be very careful with this kind of love. But Paul said we should keep it under subjection.
All right now.
It is the kind of love that caused David to lead a man to his death. He looked over there and saw Bathsheba bathing, and he got lost. We see this love also first in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve. Oh, you remember the story, and that old slippery, slimy serpent slid up next to Eve and said, "What about that tree?" Adam was standing there. There's no excuse for the brother. And Eve said, God said to Adam that we are not to partake of that tree, for if we do, we will surely die. That old serpent said, God didn't really mean that. He just knows that if you dine off of the fruit, your eyes will be open and you will be as gods, knowing the difference between good and evil. There was a recording artist some time ago named Percy Sledge. You may remember him. He had a hit song, "When a Man Loves a Woman, Can't Keep His Mind on Nothing Else." Say this whole world in for the good thing he's found. If she's bad, he can't see it. She can do no wrong. Put his best friend down. If he put her down. Isn't that what Adam did? Didn't he trade in a world of eternal life in the Garden of Eden? Didn't he turn his back on his very best friend? What better friend did we have than God? But Jesus wasn't talking about eros in this scripture.
No.
And the Greeks give us another word. It is agape. This is God's love. This is the love that we are talking about. This is the love that the Roman poet Virgil wrote about in his epic poem Eclogue. When he wrote the words omnia vincit amor, he was saying that
this love
conquers all.
That's right.
This is the love I'm talking about. And you know, Jesus Christ was the walking, living embodiment of love.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Everything that he did and everything he said was an extension of God.
Yes, sir.
Of God's love. But you know, man would not give him the credit.
All right.
While he was on the face of the earth with the things that he was doing as being that of love. Save one time. We find that over in the 11th chapter of John. Or you know the story of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And they were Jesus' good friends, and Lazarus was taking a turn for the worse.
Yeah.
He was sick.
Yeah.
He was ill unto death.
Uh-huh.
And they sent word for Jesus, say, "Come, your friend is sick."
Yeah.
Oh, you know the story. And Jesus finally made his way back towards Bethany. And as he was coming in, Martha got word, and she went to greet him.
Yeah.
Listen to the faith.
Uh-huh.
She said to Jesus, "If you had been here,
uh-huh.
my brother would not have died."
Uh-huh. All right.
Oh, you know, they had a significant conversation about revelation in life.
Mm.
Jesus asked about Mary. She says, "Well, she's back home with the others in their mourning." He says, "I want to see her." She went back and told Mary, "The master has come and he's looking for you."
Yeah.
Mary was weeping, and those mourning came to the outskirts where Jesus was. Listen to the faith.
Listen.
And when she got to Jesus, she fell to her feet.
All right.
And she too said, "If you had been here,
all right.
he would not have died."
Yeah.
Oh, I'm led to believe there's something about Jesus in life.
Huh.
And Jesus, I could see him taking her by hand, lifting her back to her feet. And she was weeping, and they were weeping. And you know, the scripture says Jesus groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Well, I know what that was. It was the love of God welling up inside of him. That agape love. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Come and see." And as they went into the cemetery, I don't know about you, but the cemetery is a place full of memories. It's a place full of a lot of emotion. I know when I go to see my mother and my father, my brother and my sister, and I have to stand before their grave. My mind is flush with memories of days gone by.
Yeah.
I think about the good times. Oh, we had some good times.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to console myself. But at the same time, it's a very painful experience.
Yes, sir.
This was a place and time when you said your final farewell. Never to hear their voices again on this side of Jordan. And I know this is what they felt.
Yeah,
As they came into the cemetery, leading Christ to the tomb.
Wow, talk, sir.
And they were weeping and they were wailing.
Yeah.
And oh, in the 35th verse records a very beautiful thing.
Yeah.
The 31st verse of the 11th chapter records a very beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
A public display.
Yes, sir.
Of Christ's love, not only for Mary and Martha, but for each and every one of us today.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
It records two words.
Yeah.
Jesus wept.
All right.
Oh, what a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It was love.
Love.
You say, Brother Reeves, well, how do you know it was love? Because verse 36 tells me it was love.
Yeah.
Verse 36 goes on to say, and the Jews said,
all right,
behold how he loved them.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Let's look at that for a moment now. It said, and the Jews said.
Uh-huh.
It didn't say Mary and Martha said.
Yeah.
It didn't say his disciples said.
Uh-huh.
It didn't say the men and women of the band who constantly followed him said.
Uh-huh.
But it said the Jews said.
Yes, uh-huh.
These are the very same people within a week.
Yeah.
Will be laying palms before him as he came into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And only a few days later would call for his crucifixion.
Yes, sir.
And it said the Jews said, behold.
Oh.
Now this word behold in Hebrew is jazah.
Mm.
It means to gaze upon with great astonishment.
Oh, mama.
This was not just any man standing there weeping.
No, sir.
This was a strong man.
Come on, come on.
This is a man who professed in his sermons to be the Son of God.
Yeah.
This is a man who walked by and the lepers called out and they were healed.
Yeah.
This is a man who grabbed a woman by an issue of blood and dried it up.
Yes, sir.
This is a man who touched eyes and sight was found.
Yes, sir.
Touched ears and hearing came back.
Yeah.
Touched the lips of the dumb and they would be able to speak.
Yeah.
Grabbed a man at Bethany by his and lifted him up.
Yes, sir.
No longer lame.
Yes, sir.
Took a withered hand.
Yes, sir.
And stretched it out.
Yeah.
This is the man they're talking about.
Yeah.
They were amazed to see him.
Yes, sir.
And I'm so glad that Jesus cried.
Mama.
You know, God hasn't dealt with me yet to, to heal the blind. God has not given me the power to give hearing to the deaf,
all right,
nor speech to the dumb, nor mobility to the lame.
Mm.
But I tell you what he's given each and every one of us.
Yes, sir.
And that's the power to love.
That's it.
Just old, simple, pure empathy of love to care about your fellow man.
Yeah.
When they're down, you ought to be down.
Yeah.
When they're up, you ought to be up.
Yes, sir.
This is what Christ is talking about.
Yeah.
The young lawyer of the Pharisees that posed a question to Christ,
mm-hmm,
tempting Christ. And, you know, Christ could have dealt with it in many ways.
Yes,
but he took that question mark and he straightened it out. And he took the opportunity to lay before us this sheet of music of the Symphony of Love.
Uh-huh.
And let us look at the three measures that are on this sheet.
Mm-hmm.
He says, to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart,
yes,
with all thy soul,
uh-huh,
with all thy mind.
Yes.
This is the first and great commandment.
Yes, sir.
And second, likened unto the love thy neighbor,
all right,
as thyself.
Yes.
It's imperative that we love God.
Yes, sir.
And you know, we must have a love for ourselves. This is important. You can't serve God if you don't love yourself.
All right.
And then you must love your neighbor. This is a requirement.
Yes, sir.
Now what he says, love the Lord with all thy heart, what he's saying is love God with all of your personality.
Yes, sir.
With all of the uniqueness that God has made you with. You may not be perfect, but you're the perfect you.
Yes,
and all the gifts and talents that God has given you, love him with all of that. Then he goes on to say, love him with all of thy soul. This is your life.
Yes, sir.
The very breath that is in you. Love God.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, love him with all your mind. And this is all of your understanding, all your reasoning.
Yeah.
The very wisdom by which you reverence God. Love him with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ says, he that hath my commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not talking about who heard it. And he's not talking about who read it. But is it embedded in your life? Do you understand it?
Uh-huh.
This is the kind of love we've got to come to understand.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we know that God is Jehovah Jireh. Oh, the bread that we eat, we know that it comes from the wheat that comes about of his green earth.
Right.
Oh, we know the fruits and the vegetables come from him. Oh, we know that the clothes we wear, the cotton is a fruit of that plant that comes up out of the ground. Oh, we know the wool is sheared from the lamb that he put on this earth that grazes off as it's ground. Even the automobiles we rolled over on, God took and dug out the ores from the metals that fashioned the automobile. Even the pneumatic tires we rode on are made from the rubber plant.
Yes, sir.
It came about of God's green earth. Even the pews were sitting out of hewn out of the wood. But God is not Santa Claus.
All right, now.
Our love for him cannot be based merely on stuff. There has to be a deeper love for God. The kind of love that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Oh, you know, they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar and said, no, we're not going to bow down to your golden image. But the God we serve is an able God. He's able to serve us from your burning fiery furnace. He's able to deliver us from thine hand. But if not, that's the kind of love we must have. That but if not love. That kind of love that Job had. Though he slay me, yet shall I. That's the love. It has to be a deep-seated love. That can stand the test of time and tribulation.
Yes, sir.
No matter what comes. You can be up today, oh, you love God. But when it turns the other way, you still love God. You keep moving in the direction you want to move in. You love God. But if it turns to go the other way, you still have to have a love for God.
Yes, sir.
This is that deep-seated love that Christ is talking about.
Yes, sir.
And oh, if you heard him say, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. Then you come to realize that we are the living extensions of God.
Yes, sir.
And if you love God, you have to have a healthy love for yourself.
Yes, sir.
And when you have this kind of love, loving your neighbor is not second nature, it's first nature, because you know that God loves your neighbor just as much as he loves you.
All right.
Oh, when you come into this kind of love, you're able to even love those who Christ said hate and despitefully use you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you come to understand that the God that is with you is everywhere.
Everywhere.
The God that you love knows everything.
Yeah.
And the God that loves you has all power.
Oh,
this is why Isaiah was able to write that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper.
Yeah.
That verse goes on to say, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. In other words, this is the history. This is simply the way it is.
Yes, sir.
For those who love God, no weapon formed. Oh, this is what Joseph was able to do when he talked with his brothers who sold him into slavery.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'm not mad at you. No, I don't hate you.
That's it.
I love you.
I love
you meant it for evil.
Yes,
but the God I serve meant it for good.
Yes.
This is the love.
Yes,
this is the love that we must have.
Yeah.
Oh, and when they hate you, you know, if they're a little thirsty, give them a little water to drink.
Yeah.
When they're trying to use and abuse you and they're hungry, give them a little bread to eat.
Yeah.
These are the embers that come up out of this eternal fire of love. It might catch a spark in the consciousness, because every man and woman by nature knows right from wrong.
Yes, sir.
And when you spark that in them, the consciousness begins.
Yeah.
It's not to overcome hate, but it's to create the consciousness
that
moves them towards the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will take over.
Yeah.
And when the love of light comes on,
The
darkness of hate dissipates.
Yeah.
This is the love that we must have.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm coming on home now. I got one or two more stops to make.
Yeah.
I don't know when Jesus recognized it.
Come on, please.
I don't know if he knew this about them when he first selected them.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about these 12 disciples.
Right.
I don't know if he recognized it about them over the 3 years of his ministry. But as he sat at that table, celebrating the Last Supper, deep down in he knew that these fellas didn't love themselves.
Yes, sir.
The pastor had to give John the Beholder a pass on this.
Yeah.
The author of our text was actually at the cross at the crucifixion, so I give him a pass.
Yes, sir.
But they had broken the bread and eaten. They had sipped of the wine. If we look at that portrait very closely, here's one fellow sitting next to Christ, even sipping his bread from the very same bowl.
Yes, sir.
And yet he'd already set into motion the plot.
Yes, sir.
To betray Christ.
Yes, sir.
The scripture says Satan had already entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot.
Yes.
On the other side, here's a fella within a few hours would deny Christ.
Amen.
And on the third denial, he would do so with such vulgarity.
Yeah.
The scripture says he cursed Christ.
Yeah.
Christ said to Peter, I'm praying for you, boy.
Yeah.
Because Satan would have you and to sift you as wheat.
Yes, sir.
And if you look close enough at this portrait, these other fellas are bent over, lacing up their tennis shoes. Betraying, preparing to flee from Christ.
Yes.
No, you can't say you love yourself and you betray God.
All right.
No, you can't say you love yourself and deny God.
All right.
You can't even say you love yourself while you're fleeing from God.
Amen.
Christ knew it. Christ said, I'll leave you with a new commandment.
Yes, sir.
And he wasn't teasing.
No, sir.
He didn't say, oh, by the way, it would be nice. This was no mere suggestion. He said, I'll leave you with a new commandment. He meant business then, and he means it now.
Yes, he does.
Love ye one another as I have loved you. Because he knew they didn't love each other.
Yes.
And he knew they didn't love themselves.
Yes.
Oh, love may be the chord that runs through the symphony of this life.
Yes.
But Jesus is a conductor.
Uh-huh.
Without Jesus, there is no love.
Right.
Oh, you must have love. This is why Paul was able to cry out, for I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, angels nor principalities, things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God, which we find in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm coming on home now.
Uh-huh.
But I'd like for you to walk with me on a small journey.
Uh-huh.
Walk through faith.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk in faith, you can see the invisible,
yeah.
touch the intangible,
yeah.
hear the inaudible,
yeah.
and travel at time it will.
Yeah.
Come go with me now as I stand at the Red Sea, and I see Moses standing there talking with God.
Yeah.
And we can hear the roar of the chariots of the iron wheels of Pharaoh's army coming up from behind. God says, what's in your hand?
What?
He says, I have a stick in my hand. He said, well, stretch out that stick.
Uh-huh.
And Moses stretched out his hands and the molecular structure of hydrogen and oxygen
gathered
against itself and the walls of water stood up and 6 million of God's children walked across on dry land. What's in your hand?
Yeah.
What's in your hand?
Yeah.
Come with me now as I stand on the battlefield.
Oh,
and I see a little boy standing against the giant of the enemy of God's people. God says to David, what's in your hand?
Yeah.
He says, I have a slingshot in my hand. He says, I'll tell you what you do, David. Reach in your pocket and take out one of those smooth stones and put it in your slingshot and whirl it about your head and close your eyes if you want to. And God took that stone and planted it in the forehead of Goliath and he fell dead to the earth. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? A few years go by and David's king. God said, what's in your hands? He said, I have a harp in my hand. He says, well, play on your harp.
Yeah.
And David sings, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be. He's making me to lie down in green pastures. What's in your hands? Come with me as I go to Golgotha. And I stand there and I see our Lord and stranger stretched out on an old rugged cross. And I can hear the voice of the God of the universe saying, son, what's in your hand?
Yeah.
And he says, I have nails in my hand.
Yeah.
And with those two nails, he put time between B.C. and A.D.
Yeah.
and rent the veil of the most holy that we can go to God for ourselves. What's in your hand?
Yeah.
What's in your hand?
Yeah.
Oh, come with me 3 days later, early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
When he got up.
Yeah.
The great God of the universe said,
now.
You have in your hand.
Yeah.
He says, I have all power of heaven and earth in my hand. What's in your hand?
Yeah.
What's in your hand? Oh, I tell you, my friend, our lady, and here comes Mary Magdalene, the other Marys, Josie and Joanna, coming to prepare
come
a dead
on,
body. And God says, what's in your hand?
Okay.
And they say, we have the spices and the ointments of death.
Yeah.
Listen. God says, put down death.
Yes.
And take up my word.
Yes.
And go to the appointed place in
yes.
Galilee.
Yes.
And tell his disciples
yes.
that he lives. I tell you what you have in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have the love of a God
yes.
who will make a way out of no way.
Yes. Yes.
You have the love of a God that will fight your battles
yes.
no how,
yes.
no matter how large the giant.
Yes.
You have the love of God that has provided us with salvation.
Yes. Yes.
Most importantly, you have the love of Christian love.
Yeah.
And you have a commandment from our Lord and
yeah.
our Savior
yeah.
to manifest it
yeah.
in your lives every day,
yeah. Yeah.
in every hour.
Yeah.
Oh, when I think about that, how much we need God and to have the ability to do that. I think about the songwriter when he wrote those words.
Yeah.
I need thee like the ocean
yes, sir.
Needs the water.
Yeah.
Or it will run dry. I need thee like the many stars above, need the setting of the sky. I need thee like tomorrow, need the hours of today to pass by. Lord, I need thee more than ever, so hear my humble cry.